Well, at the start of the second week of the COP26 climate summit in Glasgow, former President Obama raised the temperature a bit, saying leaders had to transcend politics and that America is re-engaging with the world.
We can't afford hopelessness. Instead, we are going to have to muster the will and the passion and the activism of citizens pushing governments, companies, and everyone else to meet this challenge.
That summit continues through this week. NPR's Frank Langford is there. And Frank, former President Obama also talked about how the U.S. stalled on climate commitments under Trump, but now under President Biden is ready to take leadership. How was he received?
Well, it's very interesting, Robin. I was actually having trouble getting through the main area of the conference because there were just huge crowds. And I think that was clearly Obama. He has, even 5 years out of office, he has a lot of star power. I think the challenge, though, for someone like President Biden is he did not come in here when he came in last week to speak. You know, he's having trouble on Capitol Hill getting his most important, what he considers sort of like the most important elements of his climate, package through. And that kind of undermines a leader when they come to a place like this and they don't have complete control of their sort of their domestic politics.
Yeah, that's the social issue and climate issues spending plan still stuck. But today's theme at the climate summit is adaptation, loss and damage. How the countries most affected by rising seas and increasing storms adapt to climate change, and how much will developed nations, which have contributed the most CO2 emissions, help them financially? Some call it climate reparations. You've been speaking with people at COP26 from those developing countries, including Lamia Mohsin of Bangladesh. She said it's crucial major emitting nations reduce CO2 to avoid global temperature rising above 1.5 Celsius.
This is very, very important, and this is something we have very least control over.
What will happen to your country if it gets to 2 or 2.5?
We go down underwater.
We go underwater. What else did you say, Frank? Yeah.
Well, it was really, it's been fascinating to talk to people from island nations and also places like Bangladesh that are so affected by this. She said, you know, Bangladesh has already been, the effects have been dramatic. People have been leaving the coast because of flooding. People are leaving the north from the drought up there and choking this capital city, Dhaka. And countries like Bangladesh didn't cause this problem. They're not big industrial countries. And their economies, they don't have the funding to address this. And so places like Bangladesh want billions of dollars from the wealthiest countries to help adapt. One thing they're looking at, they have rice that's resistant to seawater. So they can, even when there's flooding, they're able to grow rice and they want more money for that. Also what they call rainwater harvesting, capturing rainwater. So they want a lot of help from the developed nations that did contribute to climate change to help them out.
I want to get more of these voices. And you spoke with Maya Natalia from Tuvalu. That's the small island nation in the South Pacific.
We're thinking of dredging in a way that we can increase the elevation.
So basically building up the island with sand, right?
Yes, that's basically what we're looking into it. You know, that's the only way we can sustain life on the island.
What else did he tell you, Frank?
Well, he said, you know, Tuvalu's elevation is only about 10 feet, and it's inundated what they call king tides. And there are also big, big tides that are ruining the agriculture there. And he said, you know, they need billions as well to dredge and actually raise the elevation of the islands, again, needing help from the developed countries to do this. Tuvalu's a very small country.
Yeah. Well, you also spoke with Wilbur Otichilo. This is a politician from Kenya who had this to say about the role of richer nations, again, you know, reparations maybe during this climate crisis.
They have a moral responsibility to help other countries so that they can catch up, because developed countries have capacity to cope with climate change. But the developing countries like Kenya, we don't have that coping mechanism.
But Frank Langford, do they have leverage?
Not a lot. Many of these are smaller countries, small economies, and they say that it's up really, it's a political decision for the most developed nations. And from a developed nation's perspective, they have promised $100 billion a year to at least in partly address these adaptation issues, but they haven't paid the money that they promised. And so also, if you're running a country right now, you're coming out of COVID, you're thinking about other domestic priorities. So it's a big political decision. I think the strongest argument they might have is just what he was saying, which is a moral responsibility, considering that developed countries, they reaped all the benefits in the Industrial Revolution. They have contributed the most CO2 emissions and maybe should pay more to help out these other nations.
Okay, we've got about a minute. There have been headlines about pledges to cut coal, emissions, methane emissions to deforestation, stop that. Nothing's been worked out. But what are you looking for in the days ahead?
I think we're going to be some really nitty-gritty negotiations and a couple of things that I think are big picture. One is, will these developed countries make good on their pledges to these most vulnerable nations? That's one thing. It's a trust issue. The other is, can there be an audit system created where to make sure that countries keep their promises to reduce emissions? That, I think, one of the big, big questions here has been accountability. Will the world's rich countries and the biggest emitters do what they have said over the years and really deliver?
Yeah. NPR's Frank Langfitt. At the COP26 Climate Summit in Glasgow, some people saying time is running out. Frank, thank you so much.
Great to talk, Robin.
Yeah.